Venter City Planning Board meeting, May 10th, 2023.
Call this meeting to order. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press, the Current, and a copy of the same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. Let us rise and salute the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody to our meeting. Let's do roll call.
Mayor Landrieu.
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel.
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tocco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin, Jay Cook, Wendy Bartlett, and Jessica Spilly.
Okay, the first item on our agenda is adoption of minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read and review the minutes?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
I'm going to abstain, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Let's do a voice vote. All those that approve the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
All those that are opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Two abstentions. The minutes are approved. Next item is adoption of resolutions. It's P19-2023, Calvin Quash, and P20-2023, Terrence Mooney and Bethany Mooney. Have you had a chance to review the resolutions?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any changes?
None.
None? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Tim and the mayor. Okay, the first...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I could, I reached out to Chairman Cook as well as Leo over the past week or so. And Wendy Bartlett is not going to be able to attend meetings for probably a couple of months. She's having some surgery. What I would like to do is technically, if you're not here for so many months, you can be removed from the
yes.
from the board. So what I'd ask the board to do is pass a resolution waiving that timeline. She would like to come back in probably August.
Okay.
She's been a longer-term member, and she would like to keep the seat. So I would make a motion that we waive the absentee requirement for board members until probably August, the August meeting. So,
is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just her.
All those opposed?
Just her.
Any abstentions? Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
She'll be excused till we'll say one of our August meetings, and
yes.
we'll take it
yes.
back up
yep.
again. Well, I'm sure she'll keep us posted.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And she certainly appreciates it. She reached out last week.
Okay, the first application is Charles and Robin Cutler at 5701 Ventnor Avenue.
Mr. Chairman, nice to see everybody. I'm Chris Bailison. I represent Charles and Robin Cutler. We're right here with me tonight. Our architect and project, Bob Reynolds, is here as well. This is a relatively simple application. I'll try not to keep you very long, I know.
Could you first, I'd like to have our engineer.
Of course.
All right, Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Also, any professionals, could you have them also?
Of course, Mr. Clarence.
Actually, Chris, you can proceed on this one. It's a simple application.
Okay, please proceed. But you'll have to get up and please get sworn in, Leo.
Sure. And Mr. Reynolds, just your name and business address for the record, please.
Robert D. Reynolds, Jr., 79 Iona Avenue, New Jersey.
And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth? And Chris, I know I'm familiar with him from other towns. I'm sure he's been here at some point, but just make sure he gets qualified.
Worked with Bob years ago, so. certainly support it.
Very good. Yes, you're on.
5701 Venter Avenue, it's a corner property in Oxford and Venter Avenue, it's a single variance. You saw there's an existing rear porch at the property. Request is simply to put a roof over that porch to have some covered outside living space in that yard. It requires a rear yard setback where 11.2 is required, 15 is required, 11.2 is proposed. For those of you who saw it, there are substantial side yards on each side. There is a substantial rear yard behind at 11.2, but when it backs up to 11.2 feet is the platform of condensers and pool equipment up against the start back of the house that's behind them. So it really won't, that setback really won't impose upon those people to the rear. There's no, not even any windows in the back of that house. Bob Reynolds drew the plan. Bob, can you tell us briefly your background and your experience as a professional architect?
I've been licensed since 1998
in the state of New Jersey. You have done both commercial and...
You need the mic.
There's right on the chair.
Cordless.
There's a cordless one. You just have to click the button on.
Since that time, Bob, you've handled both residential and commercial applications?
Mostly residential.
And you've handled those throughout South Jersey? We know we've worked a lot together.
Margate, Egg Harbor Township, Northfield.
You're familiar with Venter's ordinance?
Yes, I am.
And you drew the plan that's been submitted tonight for their review?
Yes, I have. I've went to the site for measurements.
Mr. Barrett, I ask that Mr. Reynolds be qualified as a professional architect?
He is qualified. Sir.
Thank you.
Basically...
I'm sorry, can I just...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is a section through the existing deck. This is existing. We're proposing a new roof. New roof. I have a new beam here. One of the areas that are impacting the slope, I have windows on the second floor, and because of the depth of the existing deck, the roof slope is a 3-inch well. That's here, you can see the windows above. A little bit of flashing beneath the window. We will have some electric waterproof outlets. We'll also have a couple of ceiling fans and a couple of recessed light fixtures. Again, this is the existing...
What are the dimensions of that deck as it exists?
The existing deck is 16 inches deep by 20 feet wide.
Okay, that's what's going to be covered, is that correct?
That's correct, only that.
And the front yard setback on Oxford Avenue, that's conforming, am I right?
The front yard?
It's a front yard on Oxford, that's conforming?
Yes, let's go to that.
Let me suggest to you that it is.
Yes.
And the side yard, the opposite side yard, that's conforming as well?
Yes.
So the rear yard is where we need a variance. It's 11
dash
point...
Dash line indicates the allowable setbacks.
So the rear yard is where we need a variance for, right? 11.2 versus 15?
Yes.
Now, do you think if the board were to allow that roof to be at that location, it would have any detrimental impact to the neighbors on either side or to the rear?
No, I really don't see any detrimental impact to the neighbors. Particularly, this is a fence. As you mentioned, it's probably 15 to 20 feet to the exterior wall, the neighboring structure. We're pretty far away from the homeowner on lot 1.05. One of the nice things about the site, we have very generous landscaping area off of that is existing. Off of Oxford Avenue, I have two very mature trees, one at the curb here and one at the corner of the lot. This is the Venter Avenue side, of course. Also have a planter. I have a variety of plantings, including hydrangeas and
Mr. Reynolds, do you think if the board were to allow the grant of that variance amount 3.8 feet off of where it's supposed to be, do you think that will have any detrimental impact on the zone plan and the zoning ordinance?
I really don't see any impact at all because we have a fence, and as I mentioned, there's
you're pretty far to the adjoining property.
How much from an aesthetic standpoint, do you think putting on a roof, a new roof on that deck as exists, aesthetically enhances the property?
No, there's still a lot of open areas on all sides of the lot. This is towards Center Avenue, Oxford.
Could you raise the mic when you're speaking? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it'll give them an opportunity to, you know, seek relief from the late afternoon sun. Also, if it's raining, they could still sit out there.
And you have spoken to the Cutlers. They're certainly willing to put shade trees on the property, but would like to do it in the front where trees are needed, because there are trees on the side. I saw Roger's comment. We have to put shade trees in the front of the property where they're kind of needed, as opposed to the side, if that's okay.
Yes. So, I have a quick question. There is not going to be any sides to the porch, from the roof to the base?
No, Mr. Chairman.
So it'll be open?
Correct.
It'll be open, yes.
Okay, I'd like to be a railing, not any walls.
There is a railing.
Oh, yes.
On all sides.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
This was what, making sure that it's not enclosed?
No, it is not.
Okay, just for clarification, because I'm looking at the pictures and I went there today. This is an existing deck? This is not something that's under construction?
That's an existing deck.
So there were former approvals for the setbacks for the deck?
That's right. Existing,
because there's nothing in the history in the application that indicates that.
Was there a fact?
The deck was there when they bought the house.
I believe the deck.
The deck was there when the deck came with the house.
Okay, so they didn't. Okay.
The deck itself complies. It's the roof doesn't meet the building setback, so that you're adding the roof.
The deck can be within six feet.
6 feet.
Right. Once you put the roof on, it's part of the building.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roof.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay.
The only implication is once you put the roof on there, it increases lot coverage,
right,
but they're still below the required.
Okay.
I think the setback without the roof is 6 feet.
Correct.
Yes.
That's all I have.
Thanks. So our engineer planner will read his report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Again, just to reiterate what Mr. Balanson said, it's located in the R1 single family district. Substantial benefit variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page one, continued on page two with the plans. And the project description is just as Chris described. The applicant proposes to construct a new roof over an existing elevated deck in the rear yard. And that rear yard deck is actually at the same level as the first floor of the existing structure. The deck itself is not a variance. However, the roof being added to it becomes a variance. And again, they meet all the requirements for coverages. So in a nutshell, one of my recommendations is to provide two street trees. This whole block was part of a subdivision back in the day, and all the other street trees are behind the sidewalk along Ventnor Avenue, except for this property. They were probably removed, they were damaged or whatever. So to reinstitute two street trees on Ventnor Avenue behind the sidewalk, to me, justifies that variance as best as possible. That concludes my report.
Have you had a chance to read our engineer's report?
I have, Mr. Chair.
And you haven't? No questions.
No, that's fine.
Anything else to add?
No, sir.
I'll open it up to the public. Is anyone in the public interested to make a comment? Seeing and hearing no one coming to the mic, I will close the public portion. Do any board members have any questions?
I just have a question. The street trees are going to be on his property or at the...
They'll be in line with the other street trees on the same side of the street, so I believe they would be on his property.
There is no
government. Right. It's all concrete, that whole block.
Is it going to be on the grass, his grass, the trees?
Mike, you want to put them in the front of the property because there's nothing in front of the property right now.
So it's going to be on the property. Better that way.
Yep.
Why don't you go quick? I know this is something that I had here for a while.
Any other comments or questions by board members? Hearing none, I'll turn it over to Leo, if you could.
Okay, it's just that we need a motion and a second to grant one C variance. It's a rear yard setback to the deck. They're at 11.2 feet, 15 feet's the requirement. The conditions, I'll note, they'll put the two street trees. the front of the property behind the sidewalk in line with the others, and then just the standard conditions we put in every resolution, subject to any necessary outside approvals and any representations made by the applicant during the course of the hearing and anything else in Mr. McLaren's report unless otherwise addressed.
I'd like to hear someone approving the motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Mayor Landgraf?
I support the application. I think it is an aesthetic improvement to the back of the structure. Certainly in the afternoon, you get a lot of sun there. You need to stay out of it a little bit sometimes, hence the sunburn on my head. But I vote yes for the application.
Yes.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I see no detriment to the neighbors, and I think they could have gone a different direction. I like that they use the same pitch on the roof as the rest of the home, so I think it'll be aesthetically pleasing, as well as the other things that were mentioned. I vote yes.
Roman Zabihah?
I also approve the application. The variance is warranted because of it's covering the same area as the deck, so it will be aesthetically a nice addition, and the trees will also add to the streetscape, so thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
No, I think it's great when you can add more living space and utilize that part of the house, and as importantly, if not more, is that you haven't gone over on your lot coverage, and we get a couple trees, so.
Dan Smith III?
I'm also going to vote to favor the application. I think there's no impact whatsoever. I think the outdoor space is something that we look forward to, especially if it's short.
Mike Reason?
I also vote in favor. I think it will be a triple effect down the rest of the houses because it really does make the house bigger. You want to be outside more and to relax, especially at night, so if you want to. So, good luck.
Peter Taco?
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I don't see any impact on any of the neighbors. Certainly, there opposition to it. I think it'll make a nice addition to the property.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor. I think it's an aesthetic improvement, and the variance is de minimis.
Greer Giff?
I vote in favor also. The
motion is approved. Congratulations.
Good luck. Nice seeing you, Bob.
Binders that my time has put together.
Sure.
It'll make following the testimony a lot easier. We've pre-marked it as exhibit B. Great.
Thank you.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready, yes. Okay. Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Announce it. So the next application is Surrey Beach House LLC, 109 South Surrey Avenue.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Mayor, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Benjamin Zeltner with the Atlantic City Law Firm, Levin Starr, representing Surrey Beach House tonight. Just as a matter of housekeeping, I'd like to confirm our proofs of service and publication. We submitted our in order.
Yes.
All good. Thank you. Good.
Could you please have all your professionals sworn in?
Yes, I will. So we have James Brandenberger, John Barnhart, John Missouri III, and Joseph Smith. Jack Smith.
All right. Why don't we go down the line, right to left, left to right, doesn't matter. Just state your name and business address. I'll swear before you and together.
It is Jack Smith, registered architect. I don't know if you need me to spell that name.
That one we got.
There you go. All right.
Where's your office?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I have several offices, one in Gloucester Township, but I also have an office at 1245 West Avenue in Ocean City.
Okay. John?
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City. Licensed professional engineer, licensed professional planner.
Great. And is it
Jim Brandenberger, 252 Bayshore Drive, Ocean City, New Jersey.
Okay. And one more.
John Masary, 3813 Atlantic Avenue, Atlantic City.
You okay with those spellings, Carmella? That's okay.
I can help you out if you want.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah.
It's Brandenberger.
You okay, Carm?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you can each please raise your right hand, do you each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
And all the professionals are...
Yes. So we are very excited to be here tonight to present to you a project that will take an almost 100-year-old hotel and that's been in a deteriorated, run-down condition and transform it into an attractive, complementary structure, one that's going to be complementary and attractive to the architecture on South Surrey Avenue and a project that the city can be most proud of. So with that said, just way of background, the property currently contains a three-story, 15-unit hotel known as the Surrey Beach House. It was constructed on or about 1928, according to city records. Previously, this board issued a certificate of land use compliance in 2005 for a 15-unit hotel with daily and weekly rentals on the property. The zoning board approved that resolution again back in 2005. As you'll hear tonight, when Surrey Beach House LLC purchased the property, it was in a deteriorated, run-down condition. Since then, the applicant has assembled a first-class team of professionals in order to transform it into the project that many of you have seen ongoing today and that will become, hopefully, very shortly. We're here tonight because we're dealing with an existing non-conforming building, so with that said, inevitably, variances will be necessary. And also we're seeking a waiver of site plan approval. So with that said, I call James Brandenberger to the, as our first witness. So just briefly, Jim, your background and experience in development.
Good evening.
Is it green?
It's green. Okay. My name's Jim Brandenberger. I started framing in mid-80s and basically built that business into a company that did small single-family homes, and then we extended that to larger developments, and eventually went into commercial Wawa, CVS, office buildings, and tax sites. Now we pretty much just manage those properties and build custom homes and look for opportunities like this is presented to us here today. Things that are fun that we can actually have make an improvement to the community and make a great investment return for us. So that's where we are.
Did you prepare Exhibit A3, the presentation booklet that we distributed in advance of the hearing tonight?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Just to briefly describe the project using whatever boards or references to your presentation booklet.
Great. So as you, the booklet that I prepared, if you look at the page 2,
It kind of shows the before and after shot of the building. And I think I can pretty much take it through and describe the variances. Do you want me to describe the variances?
No. Just to describe the existing building and what you're proposing.
Okay. So you see the before shot of the building, versus what we're proposing to do. If you had an opportunity to stop by the building recently, we have a lot of these improvements done already, with the exception of the tower on the right-hand side. We are proposing to elevate that tower about 4 foot taller than the right side of the building to kind of break up the massing of the building. Also provide a location for us to install our sign, which is a backlit sign. In addition to that, the upper picture doesn't really show the through wall window units that were in the building before that we have removed. They were a source of a lot of water infiltration. We've actually had to replace about 86 concrete lintels in the building because of that, the water infiltration. So what we have done is we've upgraded the heating systems to mini split systems, and have most of the condensers, all the condensers that we could put on the roof were on the roof. And there are three that we are requesting to be mounted on the outside of the building. Actually, we're only going to request to mount two on the outside of the building. The one on the left-hand side, we're going to move to the front porch based on Roger's request or comments. So the other things that we're doing, we're installing about 18 shrubs and trees along the front of the property. We're breaking up some concrete along the front and doing two landscape beds. We also would like your permission to do some like standing seam metal canopies and awnings over the front doorway, the doorways to each of the suite units. The building consists of 15 units. There's six on the second floor, six on the third floor, and three one-bedroom suites on the first floor. The suites have built kitchens, living rooms, and bedrooms. The rest of the units are just one bedroom, one bed. We've renovated all the bathrooms, all the interiors. It's really turning out here.
There was an existing canopy on the property before your proposed improvements, okay?
Yeah, that's correct. Oh, there you go.
The canopy you can see in the top picture there protruded about 3 foot into the outside of the face of the building. The canopies that we're proposing are only going to extend about 2.5 feet. So we're reducing that encroachment.
There was no signage to speak of with the prior structure. Why do you feel it's needed for the new structure?
We want to create an identity for the building. We think that's important. We want people to be able to find us.
The landscaping that you're proposing to put, that's going to be in the city's right of way. Is it going to be higher than 48 inches?
No, 24 inches.
24 inches.
No, it's just going to be bordered by a Belgian block. Right.
So very, very low scale.
Correct.
There will be a canopy that will, from the first floor, extend into the city right of way that you'd seek permission from the city for a license?
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that in the plans?
Yes, it is.
Did you discuss the project with your neighbors before tonight's hearing?
Many of them. I wasn't out there. I think there's 125 just in the breakers alone, you noticed. But we have given out many brochures for the neighbors to share. This booklet, this exact booklet. I've spoken to the neighbors across the street, and I've spoken to many people individually at the breakers. I did not speak to the neighbors directly approaching the building in the past, but Mark and Glenn from the side of them, we spoke to them. They're in favor of it. Mark's concern was lighting, and I explained to him that our lighting is backlit. We actually left the lights on the building yesterday all through the night for him to see it, and I told him if he had any issues, he has my number. I haven't heard a complaint, so I assume he's happy with it. Both the sign and the lights on the front of our building are backlit. They do not project forward.
Assuming the approvals are granted tonight, when do you anticipate completing the project and opening up the hotel?
If you give me the approval tonight, we're going to start on the canopy and finish the HVAC units over the next 10 days, and hopefully by first week of June, we'll be complete.
I don't have any further questions of Mr. Brandberger, if the board has any.
I just want some clarity on the signage. Somewhere in all this paperwork, I thought I read that there's three signs.
Yes, Mr. Smith is going to go over the exact details and dimensions of the signage.
Okay.
If you want to wait until then, but yes, there will be three signs. One a number sign, and then I believe two name signs.
Okay.
The number sign is actually the address?
Yeah.
The address, yes.
Okay.
109.
So the where it says Surrey and Beach House, that we're counting that as two signs, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The signage that you see on the front page is all the signs.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
I do have one more question, Ben, regarding in my interview with some of the neighbors.
Oh, sure.
They asked if it'd be possible if we could do if the board would grant approval for a loading unloading zone for one of the two parking spaces we have in front of our unit. I don't know if that's a possibility or if that would come from this board or if there's another.
Why would that be helpful to the project and to the neighbors, in your opinion?
So we're basically going to be a contactless property, although our management company is very local. There's parking on both sides of the street currently. A lot of the problems that I've heard is that have happened with the old hotel that was there. People coming and parking in the middle of the street, there was nowhere to unload their baggage, so they would block traffic for the entire street. So we're hoping, if possible, if we can get one site limited to maybe 15 minutes for unloading loading zone, that will eliminate a lot of that problem, allowing cars to pull over, load, unload. They also were pulling into the Breakers parking lot and parking there and causing some accidents. So if it would be convenient.
So what we would have to do is that's an ordinance.
Okay.
So while the planning board could certainly make comments on it, that would have to come to City Commission. Not something I'm, too worried about. I think as long as the neighbors, I wouldn't want to do that tonight because they're not here and you're changing this application right here. But when we do the ordinance for it, it would be notice. They'd have not individual notice, but it would be a public hearing on it. So they would at least get the comment there.
Okay.
Because that's one space less on a beach block that becomes, that's a very valuable commodity in the summertime. In about three more weeks, that space you could sell for about 15 grand a summer. But not a bad idea.
The request actually came from Mark. I don't know his last name. He's our neighbor directly across the street. I told him I would raise it.
Okay. Thank you. Agree with that, Leo?
One last question about the HVAC units. Mr. McLaren had asked whether they could all be relocated to the roof. Did you investigate that possibility?
Yes, we did. We
cannot relocate the units to the roof because of the run. The run will be too long.
For the ones on the ground floor?
On the ground floor. But what we're able to do is if we can get approval to put the two in the back, on the back of the building, we will agree to relocate the one on the left-hand side to the front porch. So we don't need a variance.
So a quick question about, you said you used to have window units, so you're reducing probably 12 window units to two outdoor connectors.
Yeah, there were 15 window units.
So that there's substantial noise reduction by that reduction.
Correct. Actually, if you look on your booklet here, I have the decibels for the new units and the decibels for the old units that were replaced. The old units ranged between 49 and 54 decibels, and they were right when they were closer to the buildings. They protruded from the outside of the buildings. Ours are at least 8 foot in off the roof, and they're 52 decibels, the new units, and they're much further away from the old ones.
My suggestion would be to keep them on the side, not the front.
Oh, okay.
As presented.
Okay, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that too.
Yeah.
You're not going to see it on the front.
Okay, it'll be behind the front rail. It'll be screened in.
But you're going to be taking away porch space. And
yeah, it's not much. It might be aesthetically. Okay. If that's what you prefer, that's what we'll do. I thought it was a good compromise because when you come down from Atlantic Avenue, you're going to see that unit in that white marquee. So if you look at the front of the.
Right.
to the left side.
So we have an AZAC tower on that left side as you're coming down from Atlantic Avenue, tab 5. And it doesn't show on this plan, but it would be right underneath that first window. It'll be at least 80 inches off the ground, but it was still, I wouldn't mind losing some porch space.
That's up to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Board members, are you all right with that?
Yeah, I think whatever. I was fine with it on the side, but I get his point. That's going to be one of the most visible walls you see coming down the street.
Yeah, I thought it was a good suggestion, so we looked at a way to work, make it work.
I call John Missouri. John, tell us and the board your experience in the hospitality industry and who you're affiliated with.
Thank you. I'm going to just talk loud enough, is that okay? So my name is John Massery. I am a commercial real estate broker, property manager, and now a hospitality entrepreneur. I graduated from Stockton a couple years ago, and I've been in and out of casinos, boutique hotels, restaurants, wedding venues as an employee and as a manager, and then broke off into commercial residential real estate and into property management specifically for short-term vacation rentals, hotels, and the like. So across the immediate Jersey Shore, I have about 35 properties that I manage, and including about 18 that are. So I live right up the road in Atlantic City and in the.
And that's where your office is, Atlantic City?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Describe the proposed operation of the hotel following the renovations.
Sure, so the hotel itself will operate more like a short-term rental vacation rental property in that it'll be contactless. There won't be a front desk. There won't be a necessarily on-site staff person there to oversee the property. It'll run kind of one of the protocols of the pandemic, so it'll have keyless entry, self-check-in, security cameras, security systems to be able to monitor the noise and activity levels inside and outside the building. And it will just kind of be a very seamless opportunity for the guests to come in, have a relaxing experience, and then also operational efficiency of not having staff person on site, but again, having either myself or my company staff members in the vicinity to respond within generally 15 to 20 minutes.
So your company will be in charge of maintenance and upkeep of the property?
That's correct. Yes. We're in charge of agency, everything in operations.
Got it. Okay. And Mr. Brandenburg described the renovations. How will the property blend in with the neighborhood? Do you think, given the contactless property, it will operate seamlessly and without any interference to the neighbors?
That is, of course, the hope. I'm very proud to be partnering with Jim on this project. I had the opportunity to work with the former owners during their transition last summer, so I got to see some of the opportunities to improve on the fleet's operations, how it functioned in the past. I've learned a little about their history. And not to say they won't have a full-time person on site, but there could be a person on site during the high volume check-in days to be sure that people are guiding and not walking the street, not taking up space that they're not supposed to be. I've got to meet a lot of our neighbors as well, both last summer working for the previous owners, and now for a construction project. I've got a lot of great feedback. Also, we've got here some concerns around trash, parking, noise, people. We will be able to avoid pretty much all that on the trash. We have private trash set up, and a valet from one of the local groups to ensure that promptly returned and brought back to the street.
Talk about security.
Security, all of our locks are smart locks. They're all Wi-Fi connected. They're all remotely controlled. The codes that the guests get are only good for their stay. So far as guest safety and guest security, it's very, very high-tech, very secure. The property will be equipped with 14 security cameras that are recording 24/7 both on all the common interior spaces and on all exterior aspects of the property, front, back, left, right.
And guests will have to verify their ID and background check before they're allowed to enter the property with you?
That's correct. As an operational point, even though we are a hotel and our land use approval from 2005 does say the other rentals, we are instituting a 2-night minimum all year round with longer stay restrictions in the summer. Ideally, I have one guest staying between 4 and 5 nights, so we have enough time to experience and enjoy better and the area beyond that. And when they do book their reservation, regardless of what platform they come from, regardless of whatever verification steps those happen, we have our own in-house security that will verify their ID, require that they verify with a selfie and a timestamp it. They have to go through their background check and a various other fraud prevention measures that will check them in and won't give them access until those steps are completed.
Great. Thank you. Yes.
Since the site is so conforming, where is the trash going to be located?
The trash before and in the continuing operation is located in the back. It's fenced in, and they give the space.
Okay. Thank you.
And you'll maintain and ensure that the trash is emptied on a timely basis?
That's correct. They'll go out. The trash collection set up for Friday morning. They'll go out late Thursday night. We brought back problem back.
So, just a question. As a policy, you're going to have guests staying minimum 2 nights.
All year round.
Okay. So, but in the summer, you're trying to encourage, or you're going to put a policy in for longer stays?
Sure. So, it's a little both. The structure of the stay profiles, the further out guests are looking to have to book 4 nights. So, if they're looking 3, 4, 5, 6 months in advance, they have to book at least 7 to 10 nights. And then it'll progressively shorten the minimum stay until the last minute, but it'll never go below 2. Again, ideally, our summer length stay should be at least 4 to 5 nights.
So you mentioned trash. You're going to have to switch to a commercial hauler. I was unaware that you have municipal, county pickup.
We have our waste management. We had it before.
Okay. So you said you had a valet taking the trash cans back?
Right.
What cans do you have?
Waste management. And private cans. We don't have any city cans.
Okay. Why? I'm puzzled. If you have waste management, why do you need someone to take the cans back? That's been a problem there in the past, so I want to make sure we get this straight, because trash is leaving the cans out, putting the cans out in advance of whatever day they're picked up, has been a problem in the complaints we get at the city level, so that's a concern.
When I started working with previous owners last spring into the summer, and that was something I started right away. I had a Flynn's Bins, if you reached out to them, and they came out Thursday night with the trash.
Okay, great.
And they're back Friday morning, and the feedback I had last time.
I will say I haven't had any complaints in quite some time, so that's good. C-click fix is sometimes a curse.
Yeah.
But, all right, good.
I would just echo that comment that to manage it over time in the high periods of the summer, that there you may need more than one pickup like restaurants do.
Of course, we're fully prepared for that. Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be a good concern to have.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
So, with on the trash idea, the units before did have kitchenettes in every unit, all 15 rooms. Either had the 3 suites had full kitchens, and the 12 rooms did have hot plates, mini fridge, microwave. Now, we do not have the full cooking amenity that the units did, so the 12 rooms will only have a mini fridge and a small microwave. So, in theory, there shouldn't be cooking, there shouldn't be as excessive trash load from the uses.
Restaurants will be happy to hear that.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yes.
I'd call Jack Smith.
Tomorrow gets fixed.
Okay. Mr. Smith, briefly, your professional licenses and experiences as an architect.
Yes, sir. I've been a licensed architect since 1996. I'm a Drexel graduate in 1995. I run the firm of Bishop and Smith. I've been doing that since 96, but I've been there since 1987, so 37 some years. I've been in front of this board and also many, many other boards in my history.
Are you familiar with the application, the plans, the subject property, and the zoning ordinance?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Did your firm prepare the architectural plans and elevations submitted with the application?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Briefly describe the existing building and the improvements. Using your exhibit boards, we have marked as exhibit A1, which is consisting of 6 sheets of his floor plans and elevations.
So first I want to apologize because in a miscommunication, I don't have the full size rendering that I should have here, but you all have in front of you the renderings, and hopefully when I point to them, you can visually see what I'm looking at here. So as you can probably all remember, this was pretty much a big square box. It had a pink awning on it, so an element that really wasn't something that was part of the original design, I'm sure. But anyway, that is obviously proposed to come off and has already been removed. So what my firm was obviously hired to do was to take this existing structure and try to bring it up to more of a modern standard, something that would be more aesthetically pleasing, thus removing the old awning, putting on more of a modern look with these additional awnings, still trying to provide some shade to the upper, as we're adding another awning on the top floor to give some shade to those units up there. And then, of course, we've already talked about the tower here, and I don't really want to call it a tower because it's only coming up 4 feet. The tower makes it sound like it's, you know, up 30 feet or so in the air. So the tower, as we'll call it here, allowed us to put some signage on there, but also gave us a visual point of reference. Certainly in this kind of business, having identification is important to the owner. So by creating this focal point, breaks up the facade and gives us the ability to put some signage on there, and again gives it some uniqueness to draw attention to it, which is what we want. I'm sure you're familiar with the area, and this tower does not extend higher than the breaker. The breaker is probably at least another 10, 20, it's much higher than this facade here. And then the other building to the left of that is already, there's no impact on that from the view because the breaker is already higher than that. As mentioned, there was a question earlier in regards to the signage, and I can give some testimony on that, but the signage, as far as what has been proposed, there's going to be just where it says Surrey and then Beach House here. Surrey is only 4 foot wide by 1 foot tall, so really, again, you can see the scale of it is pretty minimalistic. The Beach House, that is approximately a little over 13 feet. Again, it's about 14 square feet is what we have on that. And then the only other signage that we're doing, which is down here, is really just an identifier for the building number, which is 109. And that, again, is only about a foot by 2 foot four or so is what we're proposing. So we're, again, we're giving this building a modest facelift. We work with Jim on the interior to try to create and improve the interior of this. I happen to have, and I didn't get to see this building prior to him finishing this up, but I did get a chance to go through this. And if you haven't had a chance to look at it, I have to say I'm very impressed. Jim gave me a tour of the building, and they really did an incredible job. And I'm not just saying this, I've been in this business a long time. He took a building that was really substandard and really dilapidated, and he made an incredible improvement to this building. I mean, I'm just very, very impressed with it. I just wanted to make sure I say that.
The photos in the booklet you hand out show the difference. It looks
tremendous. It's just incredible what he's done. And, you know, the improvements that he's made to this building is just, you know, what an improvement to your community. And just to add to that, while I was there, a neighbor came up from the breakers and actually stopped Jim and made some comments about how well he did and what an improvement he's made to this building. They were so excited to see it. In fact, they were trying to get information from him on how they could get rentals there for their kids to come and stay there. So again, I just think that's a testimony to what Jim has done to this for this community.
In your opinion, Mr. Smith, as an architect, will the proposed improvements create a desirable visual environment and creative development techniques and specific design and arrangement?
Absolutely. For all the reasons I've stated, you know, we're not extending the building for the most part in any other way. We're not impeding any other views. We've created a much more visually appealing building. So I think for that, you know, it's definitely, you know, an addition to the public good or better for the public good.
Turning back to the signage, how will that be lit?
As mentioned earlier, it's going to be backlit. So when it's backlit like that, it's just going to give it a glow enough to allow for, you know, illumination up to see it. But it's not a beaming light like you would see on the side of a building, and it's not an uplight that's going to detract from anything. I think they're very elegant lights.
Classy.
Very classy.
My concern on the signage is being on the front of the building. You can't see that.
until you get right in front of it.
Yeah, and, you know, you could start to get into where something protrudes out, but then, you know, then it creates even more light, more impact to the community. So we're trying to lessen the impact to it.
What I was thinking was, I mean, you've got that other facade that has almost the exact same kind of dimensions. I don't know.
You're talking on the right side facade?
Yeah.
Or the left side?
Left side.
The left side of the building facing Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah.
I mean, which would really kind of announce the building from Atlantic Avenue without having to find it.
I'm sure the owners would have no, you know, problem with...
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, with additional signage, but point taken.
That impacts the application.
Yes.
I kind of like that idea.
My thought.
Right down that AZAC tower that you have there?
You're talking about this side here facing Atlantic Avenue.
Essentially duplicating it.
Put the Surrey Beach House on that side, too.
So adding another similar sign to Surrey Beach House here.
Vertical and horizontal. Surrey.
The same. It might not even have same back, just something that you can see.
I would love the opportunity to put another sign there. We looked at changing the tower to put it on the other side, but the massing of the building really doesn't allow that because this is covered by the porches.
Right.
But I would love an opportunity to put a sign on that side.
Same vertical beach house and same horizontal Surrey.
Yeah. The tower where it is works best.
Thank you.
I'm very familiar with the building. I went through it 2 years ago, top to bottom, on the roof and everything. You know, so I know the building, and because the stairs are there, that certainly is the best place for that tower.
You have the option to back.
But there may be an opportunity, like I was thinking, if you put on that other facade, I mean, it would really announce it to Atlantic Avenue.
Could do
without having to go right in front of the building before you knew where you were going.
I agree with you. I think it's a great idea.
You can tell we're all, you know, aged, because most of the people that are going to come here and use this are going to have a GPS.
Yeah.
It's going to take right in the front door.
You're right.
But for the older crowd, right?
Yeah. I think aesthetically it'll look...
I think it'll look good, too.
Okay. So we can match the other side. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Roger, that'll need an additional variance, I would think, though.
Instead of, they're seeking approvals to just have signs here. Instead of three, it would be five.
Okay. All right. And I don't know that the address is considered a sign.
At that size.
Oh, it isn't. Okay. All right.
The fire code says 4 inches.
Gotcha.
How do we get three
of them? They're adding two more in the front.
Well, I think this one would just be, it might just be Beach House.
Or Surrey Beach House, but
if you can get Surrey Beach House on it, that's fine.
Oh, I got you. Surrey, too. I got you.
We would love that.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you for the observation on that.
And I'll be further questions, Mr. Smith. One more witness, Mr. Barnhart.
Don't we quit?
Assuming the board can stipulate
with
Mr. Barnhart,
credentials
of planner
engineer. We've all known John too long.
We can recite them for him.
We can recite them for him.
He's a regular.
That's pretty funny.
He's on every meeting.
Good with the application and your firm prepared the variance plans and the application.
Yes.
Briefly describe the site and the zoning.
Sure. And I am going to be brief because we wish every client that we had was as prepared as Mr. Brandenberger and his team. And this is a project that we can only wish that every existing building in town that warrants staying on the property undergoes this type of renovation. So the project really speaks for itself, but we do have to put some planning testimony on just from a legal perspective. Everybody knows the property. The Surrey Beach House has been there for more than we've all been alive anyway. So. The proposal, as was described, is to completely renovate the interior and the exterior to bring it back to what it should be, make it something that people want to come see, people want to stay at. And it's in a location that really, you know, even though the use is legally existing, it's not a use that's necessarily permitted in the zone today, but it's appropriate for it to remain and to be renovated and to continue to flourish. The surrounding sites make it such that the improvements that are proposed still work well and don't create any kind of a negative impact. The reason I say that is, as was discussed, immediately to the bottom of this plan, toward the ocean, you have the Breakers multi-story condominium facility. To the north on the plan, you have a parking lot. To the rear of the building, again, you have a parking lot. And then you have the newer project that was built up on the corner of Atlantic Avenue, which are nearly four-story buildings. They're tall buildings. So the renovation of this building, while there's a lot of existing nonconformities, we think is very much in keeping with the development and does not create any negatives for any of the adjacent properties. I'm not going to go through each individual variance in Mr. McLaren's report. I can certainly speak to anyone specifically that you wish, but the variances are for creation of better aesthetics of the building, improvement on the canopies and the decks on the front, identifying the entries with little canopies and lighting on the sides, and you heard our client talk about the HVAC position and why he's chosen the locations that he has. All those variances are C variances. Just one other thing to touch on is the landscaping area, which we thought was a wonderful idea. We have a nice wide sidewalk here. So to be able to soften that, the front of the building up at the pedestrian level, he's proposing a Belgian block curb to create two planter areas, which also then announce the front entrance. And he's going to have a row of nice planting in each of those planters, which from a pedestrian perspective will be a welcome experience. And you still have nearly a 10-foot wide sidewalk in that area, even after the planter projects into the right-of-way. So it works very, very well at this location. So all the variances we think can be classified under really actually both the C1 and the C2 criteria. The C1 and that in a hardship, all the setbacks and things that are being requested, you have a building that is non-conforming in all directions right now. So the only way to improve upon that building is to be creative with the design that was put forward by Mr. Brandenberger and his architect. But those creative ideas developed or turned into some minor C variances. So we believe because of the, we're going to call it unique conditions of the site, that it is essentially built line to line to line. They've done a very good job in not being impactful in a negative fashion to the surrounding properties, but still creating enough difference and aesthetic appeal to the building to make it a very nice project. For those reasons, we believe that the C1 criteria is advanced. And I think without question, it's very obvious that the C2 criteria is advanced, where the benefits of the deviation outweigh any of the potential detriments, and that those deviations actually are beneficial to the community. First and foremost, the architect mentioned, This is a project that puts forward two purposes of zoning by providing a desirable visual environment through creative design techniques. And it also, we believe, advances purpose of zoning number one, and that is promoting the general welfare by redevelopment of this site, by providing a unique type of rental within the community in a, a short town that wants to see their shops do well. They want to see their restaurants do well. So having buildings like this in your community in appropriate locations works very, very well to promote the welfare of the entire community. From a negative criteria perspective, is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance? I do not believe that there is. I believe that everything was done very specific to this property to make certain that they are as in keeping with the zone plan zoning ordinance as they can be, while still trying to achieve their goals. And the second prong is there a substantial detriment to the public good? I don't think anybody here could argue that this is only a benefit to the public. There's no increase in density. There's no increase in traffic. There's no additional units. This is strictly a beautification of an existing building that's pushing 100 years old for the betterment of the community, and then obviously, hopefully, for the success of the owner. So this is a win-win type of application. It's the type of application that makes my job relatively easy in front of you as a board. That's all I have.
Yes.
In this case, I think that it is. Although there are some minor site plan elements like the landscaping that we talked about, there's no site to speak of. The whole site is a building. So there's really no reason to go through a full site plan application for a project like this.
That concludes my testimony. Mr. Barnhart, if you have questions.
I'd like to have our engineer planner present his report.
One final thing. In connection with the application, we are asking the board for a recommendation to the governing body for the license for the proposed first floor canopy, since that will extend into the city right-of-way. The landscape planter, we've determined, is below the height required for the license, we believe. Thank you.
Real quickly, Mr. Chairman, board members, they basically reviewed the report, and I agree with it. I just want to point out some personal things, is I really like identifying the building like this. And you're giving this building identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really going to be sharp for Mark, or for Vetner. And this block, this beach block, has seen almost full redevelopment. I think it's really a positive thing. We had an abandoned bank there in the corner for how many years? Now we have four residential units, and now this project. So I did meet with the architect on several occasions, going over the variances before in the tower, and I thought it was really sharp then, and the additional comments about putting the signage on the side, I think really enhances it and really is going to show off this project, that the owners have really stepped up to the plate on this. So real quick, the report is based on the application of Surrey Beach House LLC, 109 South Surrey Avenue, Block 12, Lot 2. Engineering planning reports seeking C variances, located in the R9 single family district, also known as the overlay zoning for this particular block. Real quick, Mr. Zeltner, you are not adding any additional units, any additional floor area?
Absolutely not.
You're not expanding the building itself, so?
Units, floor area remain the same.
So the use and the size of the use remains the same?
Absolutely no expansion.
Very good, thank you. The plans reviewed on bottom of page 2, and the project description, I'll just go through the variances really quick and as amended. The variances are as follows. Front yard setback, whereas 12 feet is a required minimum setback. 0 feet exists and 0 feet is proposed. Again, this is an expansion of a non-conforming setback due to the height of the tower being increased at that 0 foot setback. Side yard setback on the right, whereas 5 feet is a required minimum side yard setback. 4.73 feet exists, 3.28 feet is proposed. Again, that's an expansion and increase of a non-conforming setback due to the construction of the tower with the marquee. I like to call it a vertical marquee. That's basically what it is. A side yard setback on the left, whereas 5 feet is required minimum side yard setback. 2.96 feet exists and 1.45 feet is proposed. Same reasons. And mechanical equipment setbacks for the side and the rear. Again, with adjustments, I think the board should still grant those variances as needed. You never know what comes up when you want to do something mechanical. You're going to hit something, so I like the changes that you provided. Also, signs, whereas signs are not permitted in this particular zone for the signs proposed. Three are proposed. Again, we're increasing that to 5. 3 facing Surrey Avenue, 2 facing Atlantic Avenue. And also the ones facing on Atlantic Avenue, if that site is developed next to it, you will have a setback, so those signs will still not be covered. So I think that's important to note. Again, I like the softening up of the front yard with the landscaping, even though it's not in the yard, it is in front of the building, and I don't think people will notice that it is in the sidewalk area. And for all things considered and the testimony provided, that concludes my report at this time. Also, they are seeking a on-street loading zone in lieu of a parking space. Again, that's for the governing body to decide. Your neighbor across the street actually had a pretty good idea there, so that's good. That concludes my report.
Question, have you had a chance, the professionals had a chance to read our engineer's report? Okay, any further comments? I'll open it up to the public. Seeing no one coming up or hearing anyone asking to speak, I'll close the public portion. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, we have nothing further. Thank you for your consideration.
Board members, anything else you'd like to ask?
A couple comments. And really for the board, are we okay with that loading space, losing that one parking space on the beach block?
I don't know. I just, it concerns me because parking is so difficult, especially in the beach block. I know that the lot next to you, that's the Breakers. Is there any way you could negotiate a spot there for your loading?
If I could answer those, all the spaces are
assigned.
They are assigned, five?
They pay for those, and I saw this pretty last time, working with the previous owners, as soon as someone accidentally parked people without knowing, they get to a...
Yeah, okay, so they don't have any guest parking or anything?
They don't, and in the summertime, I mean, that parking is a lot of money.
No, that neighborhood is really difficult, you know?
I would ask, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the safety concern by itself, allowing that parking space to be a loading zone. I mean, because how, anybody that goes there is gonna have to unload and then go find a place to park.
Right.
So, I mean, they're either in the street or they gotta be in the street. I mean, I think from a public safety point, standpoint, that's almost necessary.
And look, the neighbors will get their say at the ordinance adoption.
Right. I would ask the chief of police and Ed to come out, and I can go there with them to discuss it. I think conspicuous by their absence is the neighbors, and you gotta keep that goodwill. There's no public comment here, and you noticed 250 feet. So that's a huge favor in your favor, so that the parking is gonna be, it's gonna be a sticking point.
Actually, the neighbors are the ones that suggested it.
Say?
One of the neighbors suggested it. So that's my concern. You have one person voicing his comment, not all the others. So that's why, I just wanted to get our board members' feel for it. What we'll do is we'll bring it, you know, we'll propose it, we'll talk to Chief, Chief Fussner as well, our city engineer will talk about it, and then we'll bring it up at a commission meeting. And look, I think it's a good idea, but I wanna make sure the neighbors on that street...
Same here. I think it's a great idea.
Change of behavior is gonna warrant it, but you just have to slow roll it so that unintended consequences aren't happening.
So how do you police it from somebody saying, well, I'll just park here, go to the beach?
Signage and ticket it. That's why we need an ordinance. Because then it makes it a no parking zone. It's a 15-minute loading.
What was the stat we got today? 5,000 parking tickets we put out last week?
Oh, yeah, we only won, yeah. We're like seven. We're pretty good writing parking tickets.
We're pretty good. 7,000.
7,000 parking tickets. That's crazy.
Money making.
Wow. We thought it was a typo.
So if there was a 15-minute parking...
Now it's like this.
If there was 15-minute parking, a lot of people, they come here on a Sunday, park, and they don't care if they get a ticket. It happens. They'll come and park by my store.
Right.
And all that. And they get out and just walk away. I said, the loading zone, you know?
Right.
We don't care.
So I would call PD, in your instance, call PD, they'll tow it.
I try not to do that because you don't wanna alienate somebody visiting our city.
Agreed.
And that's why I don't do it.
Right.
And I leave a nice note to the loading zone. The next time, you know, you never know what happens to tires.
Right.
You know, so...
You'd fill them up with air, because you have an air hose right there.
All those, what is he using those screws for at the bike shop?
One other question. Nobody addressed, when people come to this city, they like to bike everywhere, and a lot of people bring their bikes. Do you have any room in the back where the trash is for a small bike rack for them to lock their bikes up?
That's a great suggestion. We'll try to work something out there. We thought about it. We wanted to talk to the local bike shop to see if we can make arrangements with them. Oh.
I'm not saying that to promote myself, but what I'm saying is that I know when people come to visit, they like to park their car because it's so frustrating trying to find another parking space. They'd rather ride a bike, you know, to Atlantic City, you know.
I agree with you. Yeah. I'll reach out to you tomorrow. Maybe we can work something out. Maybe you can.
I think that's appropriate here, but maybe whoever owns the bike shop, you could reach out.
I got it.
That's right. Some Airbnbs have bikes, you know, available in the lobbies that I've stayed at.
If we had a space, we'd love to do it.
Any additional comments or questions? Seeing none. Leo?
Okay. Yeah, and I'll just bring up, Roman and I had a brief discussion in terms of recommending an encroachment license. Doesn't sound like it's going to be an issue. I really have no problem if the board makes that recommendation. I mean, you have two members of the governing body here.
It's awkward for Tim and I. So if we could do that as a separate motion, and we will abstain. I will abstain. I would suggest he does the same.
Sure.
Because we're going to vote on it again.
Right.
So I would ask if we could
do two separate motions.
Two separate motions.
Okay.
Just to keep it clean.
Leo, let's do that one first.